We find ourselves the beginning of the month of Kislev. Just a bit over 2 months have passed since the beginning of the year, Rosh Hashanah, Tovshin Samach Tes. On the very first day of Rosh Hashanah, all of Klal Yisrael came together to daven, to be mispalo, pour out their hearts before the Ribono Shel Olam. And on that day, we all read the Holy Sefer Torah. It began, Vashem Pokar Asara Kasher Omar. First Kriyas HaTorah of Tavshin Samach Tes. Says Rashi on the very first Pasuk, Samach Parsha Zul Lekan. Two Pesukim before tell us, Vayispalel Avram El Ho Elokim, Vayirpo Elokim Es Avimelech, etc. Right after that, Hashem Pokad Esara. As Rashi, to teach us, Lamedcha Shekol HaMavakesh Racham Him Al Chaveiro V'hu Tzorach V'hu Zodover V'hu Nen Etchilo V'hu Bekama Tzadi Beis Aman Al. Remarkable. Many of us know the Rashi, but perhaps we're not as attuned to the niceties of the Talmudic statement in Baba Kama, Tzadi Beis Amen Aleph. The Pshat is Mamish Mavil Al Harayim. Vashem Pokad Asara Kasha Omar. Kasha Amahu. So we all think we know Pshat and Chumash. Vashem Pokat Esara Kasha Amah Hashem. Hashem healed Sarah as he Hashem had said. That's not what the Gemara tells us. Vashem Pokat Esara Kasher Omar Avram Al Avimelech. Mind boggling. Hashem healed Sarah even as Avram had prayed for Avimelech. Mind boggling. Hamispal al chaveiro, because Avram Avinu davened for Avimelech, so Hashem Yisbarach healed Sarah Imenu, a healing process which was similar to the healing which was required by Avimelech for whom Avram Avinu had prayed. And Hashem responded and healed Sarah Kasher Omar Avram al Avimelech. Indeed, Hamispal bat chaveiro hu tzorach lo sodavar hu nenet chila. The Mishnah tells us in that same Masechta Baba Kama of Tzadi Beis that Avimelech came to ask Mechila of Avram Avinu, and Avram Avinu was Meichel, and someone who's not Meichel, says the Gemara, as the Mishnah, is called an Achzari, it's called cruel. And the Marsha says, this is the very characteristic of Avram Avinu and his children and his descendants, that's you and me, Beit Adaf Lamed Beis, Kol HaMarachem Al HaBrios Yodua Shumizero Shel Avraham Avinu. Someone is cruel is not just someone who refuses to forgive somebody, but one who is apathetic. Someone has a problem, and you're apathetic. Not my problem. Not my. What do with me? Not my problem. That's cruelty. But not becoming of the Zera of Avraham Avinu. Which means, Vayispalel Avram al Ha'alokim, Vayirpa Lokim as Avimelech. Had Avram Avinu been Meichel, I'm Meichel you. But without davening, and he just didn't, it wasn't lip service, he really davened, it would have been considered Chalila V'chas Achzorius, some measure of cruelty. And one who exhibits even this small measure of cruelty, not davening sufficiently, chas v'chalila could be punished. As we read in Masechet Makos, Daf Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, the Kohen Gadol, who was supposed to beseech Hashem for mercy for the entire generation, and apparently did not do so sufficiently, it's punished. When individuals are killed for shogeg, there's a whole campaign by the families of the horogim b'shogeg that the Kohen Gadol should die. We have to ask Rachel that he shouldn't die. Why should he die? What did he do wrong? Apparently he wasn't sufficiently involved in a tefillah for his generation. And the Gemara tells us in the Sechta Brachas that Yud Beis, Kol she'ef shelo levakesh rachem achaveiro ve'eino mevakesh. He could ask mercy for his friend that doesn't do so. Is nikra chote. Kol chote. You have to pray for him, and by praying for him, he becomes chaveiro. Because the link is so close, it's so tight, it's so strong. Of course, Avraham Avinu, the Kohen Gadol, Shmuel Hanavi, these are giants that they were held accountable to daven for everybody in their generation. We're small people. But nonetheless, as descendants of Avraham Avinu, we feel responsibility to all of his descendants, and in particular, members of our own families and communities that are requiring Rachmei Shamayim. You know, in that very same Kriyas HaTorah, we are taught, Vayishma Elokim es kol hanar. Hashem heard the voice of Yishmael, who was very sick. Rashi tells us, Mikan sheyofe tfilas acholah, mitfilas acherim olav, vihi kodemes lihispala. And the Sifsei Chachamim explains that Hagar also davened, but he says kol avateif, but the Rabbonu Shel Olam paid more mind to the tefillah of Yishmael himself. It seems to me that the only way that our tefillah for someone who needs a refuah shleima can be as effective as possible is if we ourselves are sick. become so much involved in the pain of somebody else, so much involved in his difficult matzav, that we ourselves become sick. As the Gemara there says in Masechta Brachos, someone else is chola atzma olav. He himself feels ill from contemplating someone else's illness. And indeed, there are some who actually interpret the Maimar Chazal in that fashion. Hamispal bad chavero. V'hutzarach lo'osol davar means that in his tefillah, he imagines in his mind that he is the one who's tzarach lo'osol davar. If Reuven is davening for Shimon, and Shimon is an outsider to Reuven, tefillah is not so effective. But if Reuven gets sick, just as Shimon is not feeling well, is who tzarach lo'osol davar? He himself feels ill, and therefore he is so involved and so much a part of the crisis, of the illness. Who tzarach lo'osol davar? When he's davening, he's not davening for someone else, and it so happens he needs some similar Yeshua. No. While he's davening for someone else, he feels he's davening for himself because he has made himself ill because of someone else's matzav. Your Chazal tells us in the Pasuk, Vayachal Moshe, the greatest of all Jewish leaders, Vayachal Moshe, and Moshe prayed, Moshe davened. Chazal understand the word Vayachal from Lashon Choli, that Moshe Rabbeinu simply made himself ill in his davening for Klal Yisrael. This is the tefillah of an individual who is worthy of Jewish leadership. This is a tefillah of someone who cares. This is the tefillah that Rabbanu Shalom listens to. There are two Gemaras that describe what should be done when there is a chola. Gemara on Shabbos, the first parak tells us that mi sheyesh lo chola b'soch beiso yarvevenu b'soch shar chola yisro. We say in the Mishaberech, b'soch shar chola yisro. As much as we focus on a particular individual who needs a refuah shleima, at the same time, we are mindful v'soch shar chole Yisrael, because we are zara shel Avraham Avinu, and we are concerned for every individual. Of course, our primary concern is, as it should be, on an individual that we have a personal acquaintance with, that's close to us personally. We dare not forget about the shar chole Yisrael. Well, Baba Basra of Kuf Tezayin and Manalev tells us, Kol sheyesh lo chola b'sof beiso yelech etzel chacham v'yavakesh alav rachma. Should go to a wise man and ask him for rachma. What does wisdom have to do with rachma? Why is only a wise man who's mevakesh rachma for someone else who is sick as opposed to someone who's not so wise? Perhaps the pshat is as follows. Someone who is wise understands that when someone comes to him and says, you know, Reuven doesn't feel well, not just that, okay, I'll daven for Reuven, but this Chacham, who was a spiritual descendant of Moshe Rabbeinu, this Chacham gets himself sick over Reuven. And therefore it's his tefillah which is going to be affected. So if you know someone who is sick, you go to the Chacham and ask the Chacham to vakesh al rachamim, because this Chacham was the wisdom, biz'er anpin, in miniature, of the greatest chacham, of Moshe Rabbeinu, vayachal Moshe. He became sick over the fact that someone else is sick. It is this tefillah which is the most effective tefillah. And therefore the Chazal tell us to go to such a wise man, to go to such a chacham. There are some of Farshim will go as far as to say as follows. We know when we daven to the Rabbona Shel Olam, we're not supposed to daven to any intermediaries. This is the fifth of the 13 principles of the Rambam. And some of Farshim asked the question, then how do I go to my friend, be it a Chacham or somebody else, and ask him to intercede, as it were, and beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu for mercy? Isn't this going through an intermediary? Some of Farshim suggests, no. Precisely for the reason we just described. That the individual to whom you go is himself going to share the pain and the illness. He's not going to be doubting for somebody else. He's going to be doubting for himself. Just imagine that someone's in a difficult situation. People in the room are in a difficult, let's say, a difficult security situation. We read too much about it these days. And Reuven is here and Shimon is here. Reuven sees what's going on outside. Shimon is oblivious. So Reuven says to Shimon, "Shimon, please daven. We're in a very dangerous matzah." And Shimon davens and davens. He's not only davening for Reuven, he's davening for himself because he's in that same matzah. That's the idea of mispal bat chavero, for who tzorich lo oso dova. He has to, in his mind, has to find himself in the same matzah. You're not going to some intermediary to ask him to daven for somebody else. You're going to a chacham, and we all have this much chachma that we realize if someone else has a problem, we all have a problem. And we're davening for ourselves, the soul, shachol Yisrael. And who knows? Who knows that this tefillah may ultimately benefit ourselves? Those of my generation may remember an expression which was used in a particular context I'm not going to go into right now. The life you save may be your own. We don't know. We're doubting for somebody else, but who knows who's tzorach lo'osadav? Who knows? We have to place ourselves conceptually into that mindset. We go back to the tefillah of Avraham Avinu, the very first of our Avos, which we read on the very first day of this year, Tavshin Samach Tes. We should also refer to the tefillah we just read about yesterday. Vayeta Yitzchak Lashem Lenochach Ishto. Vayasalo Hashem. Once again, there's a tefillah. It says Rashi, Vayetar, Hirba Vehiftzir B'tefillah. Which means that he davened a lot. That is a quantitative statement. Vehiftzir, which is a qualitative statement. He didn't daven perfunctorily, lip service, but he begged. He really put his whole self, his whole heart, his whole mind, everything, his whole neshama, into the tefillah. This is what a proper tefillah is. A person shouldn't say, why should I daven for this particular cause, whether it be a chola who needs a refuah, or any cause for that matter? I already davened yesterday, the day before. This is a terrible mistake. A terrible, terrible mistake. I already davened. No. We keep on davening. And for two reasons. Two reasons of Rashi. One is hirba, a quantitative repetition of the daven. And some may ask, this doesn't make any sense. I already davened once. Perhaps it wasn't my tefillah, as far as I can see, was ineffectual. Wasn't really answered. So why am I davening a second time? Why will the second time be any better than the first time? But you know, the Chazal say that Vayetar, which is spelled with an ayin, Vayetar, is related to the shorish of chotar, ches tofresh, which means to dig. When a person is digging a tunnel, and he wants to get from here to there, and he digs, you know, takes a shovel and bangs, doesn't see anything, bangs again, digs again. It's all for naught, right? So why should I keep digging? But we know, historically, that this is not the case. Some of our enemies today, those were reading the headlines a short while ago, they were digging under a particular border, they were digging and digging and digging and digging. How do they do so? Every day they would dig a little bit, and after a while they were able to get through to a very, under a border to the other side. That's what our tefillah is about. Vayetar is like vayechta. Dig. See, I took a shovel and I went like this. Nothing happened. So why do it again? The answer is, you keep digging and digging and digging. But it's not enough to have a quantitative repetition of the same old tefillah. It's hirba v'hiftir b'tefillah. Hiftir is a qualitative expression. Not just repeating the same tefillah over and over again, but going to a higher level, a more intense level of tefillah. Chazal tell us that this word mispalel, which Rashi uses over here, ze omed bezavazu umispalel, vazu omedes bezavazu umispalelas. That's why it's so meaningful that we gather here this evening, anoshim v'noshim, the two separate kochos of tefillah, going all the way back to Yitzchak and Rivka. And in many ways, we've seen historically that the tefillah of the noshim is more miskabel. Why is it more miskabel? It's because the Gemara tells us in Masechta Bava Metzia that it's the nature of an isha, of a woman, that dimasa metzuya, she's brought to tears more easily than the men. Men are sometimes a little bit too tough, macho, you know, it's pasnish to cry. It's a terrible misconception. It's a terrible, terrible misconception. When something is difficult, there's a problem, everyone's brought to tears. The thing is that women are more sensitive, and they realize it's a problem, whereas men are sometimes less sensitive. They don't realize how much of a problem it is. We need both kochos of tefillah. Here above the hiftzi is to beg, and you beg with tachnunim. The Navi speaks of b'chi and tachnunim in the same breath. These qualitative differences between perfunctory tefillah and more powerful tefillah are so, so critical. When we were younger, we were taught that tefillah b'li kavana is kaguf b'li neshama. It's lifeless. It's lip service. We look around sometimes, and we don't want to say anything bad about any member of Klal Yisrael. We look around sometimes and we see people, you know, they're davening, maybe they're even shaking a little bit, but their minds are elsewhere. It's spaced out. And the sultan is very powerful. The Hasidic rabbis would comment that when a person starts his Shemon Esrei, right away the sultan gets in with him and he's thinking about this, and he's thinking about this, and things that he wasn't thinking about before. All of a sudden, the sultan gets him on that track. each person with what he or she is involved with other times of the day. Because he knows the power of tefillah. There's everything in his power to try to undermine us. We have to do everything in our power to undermine him. To daven with a real kavana, with a real sense of urgency. Tefillah has to be, as we used to say, with a bren, with a fire, with intensity, with kavana. Sometimes, when there is a particular tzara, a particular chole, someone who needs a Yeshua, it enables individuals to focus more properly on tefillah. We have to remember that it requires both a quantitative and a qualitative superiority. No one should say, I already davened once, and I say Rifa'enu when I say this particular name, or I think this particular name once, so it's enough. It's no such thing. No such thing. Again and again and again and again and again. One never knows. One is digging a tunnel. Maybe it's that last push, that last dig, which will yield the light at the end of the tunnel. Nor should one ever say that I've davened for this particular cause, whatever it may be, so many times, I'm already spent, and I cannot summon up the emotional strength to daven with the same intensity. No. Another terrible mistake. Here above the Hiftzir. And the Rabbanu Shalom's response to Vayeta Yitzhak Lashem, here above the Hiftzir, is Vayeoselo. Nispater v'nispatalo, says Rashi. As Yitzchak Avinu, in effect, begged HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded to the begging. And v'nispata, perhaps, is corresponding to the hirbo. Nispata literally means, forgive the comparison, but that's what it's found in the Chumash, Mefata. Mefata, you know, there's an onus of Mefata. You know, both for the Psukim and not this week's Pasha, but next week's Pasha. And from the reality that this kind of a pitui requires repeated requests again and again and again and again and again. Till finally, Kadosh Baruch Hu was kivayachol nispatala. So it's both the quantitative and the qualitative nature of a proper tefillah as being described over here in yesterday's parsha. Rami Prague in one of his more famous discussions on tefillah explains that ultimately what tefillah is, ultimately, is a recognition that we are completely dependent on the Ribbono Shel Olam. This is not to say that in any area of life we are exempt from appropriate hishtadlus. We are exempt from doing what we're able to do what the world considers to be appropriate. But at the end of the day, we have to realize that we have to dive into the Ribbono Shel Olam. on that same first day of the year, Rosh Hashanah, we read about Chana and Chana's tefillah, which is ultimately accepted. There's a little bit of a prelude to it. When her husband Elkanah tells her that Chana stopped crying, I'm a good husband to you, which means, in a subtle message, I davened all I can. I'm sure I'll kind of davened and davened and davened and davened it. No. At that moment, in a flash, Chana realized that it's up to her. She has to daven. And this is a story which is repeated over and over again in our history in various ways. So you know the story of the Shvatz of Uf. Same exact story, same exact episode. We go here, we go there, we go everywhere. We finally realize that it's up to us. Us means you and me. Because if we have a chole b'sof beso, someone in our community who needs a refuah, so it's yes, we have to do all the stuff, we have to do all the appropriate medical hishtadlus, of course, that goes without saying, and to go to the appropriate chachamim, wherever they may be, in this country, in Eretz Yisrael, all this is very, very important. But at the end of the day, it comes down to the, we'll call it the inner circle. The Chol himself, his family, and his extended family. Those people who are close enough to have the wisdom of Zera Avram to become sick, to be appropriate heirs of Moshe Rabbeinu, by Echal Moshe, and Avram Avinu, who tzarech also davar, who nenetchila. Because he made himself as if he himself was requiring a refuah. And ultimately, tefillah is really linked to emunah. Emunah means that at the end of the day, we have faith in the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and we recognize and realize that whatever the outcome is of a particular situation, it is a direct result of divine providence. Tefillah without emunah is meaningless. Who are you davening to? What are you saying? And emunah is sometimes, as the Chazon Ish once said, a theoretical concept. I believe in God, but when it comes down to you and me, it's called bitachon. As Chazon Ish puts it, the emunah is the halacha, and the bitachon is the lamais. Not enough to exclaim Hashem Hu Elokim one time, seven times. Believe in God. But as soon as you have a particular problem, all of a sudden, you gotta do this, you gotta do that, whatever. What happened to your belief in God? Was it theoretical? When it comes down to the tachlis, to a difficult situation, that's when our emunah is being tested. Do we really understand that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is running the show? That he makes the final call? This concept of emunah is something which accompanies us in the darker moments. V'hagid v'boker chazdecha v'emunoscha b'alelos. doesn't really mean night when the moon is shining instead of the sun. Leilos represents any difficulty in life. Yes, we are required to thank Hashem when things are going well. Modim anachnu loch. We're equally required emunos chavaleilos. Emuna in both senses. Emuna of emunos cha, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is the faithful one. And our own emuna, we believe in the faithful one. Especially balelos, difficult times. Mispalel, tefila, is really a reflexive term. It's self-judgment. And the Mefarshim often say that what does tefila accomplish? What does tefila do for us? Kadosh Baruch Hu knows what we need. He knows what we need before we daven and after we daven. So what changed? How can we change the outcome without tefillah? Shtei tshuvos b'davar. Two answers to this question. One is, when we daven, we're not davening only in order to change an outcome. We're davening because that's the appropriate response in Eis Tzor. Even the Ramban, who denies the Rambam's requirement to daven every day by Din Torah, agrees whenever there's an Eis Tzara, tefillah is critical. That has to be our response. When there's a problem, we cry out to Hashem. As the Rambam tells us, Nivos Tanios, one who faces a problem and doesn't cry out to Hashem, Chalila v'chalila, it can lead to something even worse. If you view things as coincidence, carry, Chalila Hashem Yisbarach and Yisfad v'chamas carry. So therefore, it's an automatic requirement that we have to cry out to Kadosh Baruch Hu whenever there's a problem. And the Rambam used the same expression that you used earlier. One who does not cry out when there's an Eis Tzara, Chalila v'chas, the Rambam says, is an Achzari. It's cruel. Because Chalila can bring upon himself and his circle a greater anger can be offered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a Hamas carry. That's number one. And number two, Mispalel, I said, is reflexive. It's really self-judgment. It's self-judgment. The person, Midavas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is judging himself. Who is he? Who is she? Where do we all stand? In our emuna, in our bitachon, in our kavana, in our neshama. And yes, the very fact that an individual is involved in this introspection, in this self-judgment, in a sincere and focused tefillah, can affect the outcome. Because the person is now a different person. Cannot ask, Hashem knew before, and Hashem knows now, so what changed? You changed. We changed. Perhaps if we change enough, we are now worthy of a different outcome. If you will ask, then how does this work in a case of mispal bat chaver v'tzorach li'olso dova? How does it work in general? Mispal bat chaver. The answer is that Klal Yisrael is one organic unit. When the Rabbeinu Shlom looks upon an individual who is in need of a refuah, his focus, kebeyachol, is not only on the chola himself, but on those around him. And if they will daven with this kind of intensity, they are different people. It's that the Rabbanu Shalom, when he makes his decisions, Kaviyachol, looks not only at a particular individual, but upon his entire immediate circle. So the Farshim explain, not going to bring about something bad to an individual if it affects someone else, and that someone else is not deserving of such a problem. So we have to make ourselves into better people in our tefillah, being mispalel. And in this way, Kadosh Baruch Hu looks differently, in a better way, kiveyachol, upon a chol b'tov beisam. So to summarize, from the very beginning of the year, from the opening pasuk of the opening Kriyas HaTorah, Rosh Hashanah, Vashem Pokar HaSorah Kasha Omar, Baba Kama teaches us, not Kasha Omar Hashem, but Kasha Omar Avram, HaMaspal Bat Chavero, Utzorach Loso Dover, as the Mefarshim explained, he was made himself sick over it, that he himself needed that Dover. He wasn't praying for a stranger, he was praying for someone to whom he was so close. He felt it himself. Moshe Rabbeinu became sick by Echal Moshe. This is a tefillah Ritzuya, tefillah of Avraham Avinu, tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu, the tefillah of Yitzchak and Rivka, tefillah of men and the tefillah of women, tefillah which is accompanied by Bechiyah v'tachnunim, tefillah which is sincere, tefillah which reflects a deep and abiding faith and emunah b'tochen in the Kodesh Baruch. May this kinus tefillah v'emunah, together with all the tefillahs that are being recited, Be a schus, as the Gemara tells us, it's chol b'soch beso, yarvenu b'toch shachol Yisrael, on the one hand, you go to the Chacham, who is mevakeh shachanunim, as a principle, not as an outsider. We are here to become such principles, davening for ourselves in a larger sense. May the Ribbono Shel Olam answer our tefillahs, our heartfelt tefillahs, and bring about refuah shleima. For our wonderful chaver, B'soch Shachol Yisrael.